Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
Sometimes your cross is not made of wood. Sometimes your cross is a church that won't grow, a mountain that won't move. I'm amazed at the text itself because now Paul has matured. I won't waste your time going through the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chapter of the book of Romans as he deliberates back and forth from chapter to chapter between Gentile and Jew, because he is the convergence of both. He is a Gentile citizen, but he is a Jew by birth, and he vacillates in both arenas. He can talk to both people. He has both experiences. It's a convergence going on here. Are you following what I'm saying? And so now he has settled into who he is. And what got me about the text is this proud, intellectual, brilliant, bright, erudite, charismatic individual that he would start the chapter off after laying out such an eloquent exposition on the book of Romans, talking about the peace of God, talking about there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, talking about the power of God. He litigates the case, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He litigates through the first eight chapters going back and forth, showing that the Jews had no right to be arrogant against the Gentiles because their father Abraham was a Gentile when God called him. And he's tearing down walls of division that exist in the church because Abram received the promise while he was yet a Gentile before he was circumcised. It was not his circumcision that made him a Jew. It was his obedience that made him a Jew. And God took that person who was not a people and made him a people and said, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred and go to a place that I will show you, and I'm going to turn you into something that you ain't. And he created the first Jewish man, started out as a Gentile, and it was a convergence. And so what you're seeing on the other side of the cross is a continuation of a convergence that started on the backside of the promises of God with Abraham while he was yet still in Mesopotamia worshiping idols. That's why Abraham didn't have a problem with offering up Isaac, because he came from a religious tradition where human sacrifice was considered normal, and he thought it not strange that God would tell him to take now thy son, thine only son, and go to a place I will show you. And he thought, yes, I'll take him, because it was in his background to open up human sacrifice, and he was fully prepared to slay his own hand. And God, who called him to do it, had to stop him from doing it. Look at how y'all did get that. God, who called him to do it, had to stop him from doing it. That's why man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can't make decisions off of yesterday's message. Yesterday's message said, take now thy son, thine only son, to a place that I will show you and offer him up for a burnt offering. But then there was an update. You know how you get an update on your phone and you got to download the update? God keeps you depending on him. That's why you got to pray without ceasing, because God will send an update. The problem with most of us, and the reason we have so many denominations, is that the name of the denominations tells me where you stop living. Listening. And we build monuments on dead men's revelations rather than to keep listening for God to continue his speech. For the same God who said do it is the same God who says stop it. Abraham, stay your hand. Whenever God says a name twice, it's always a covenant. Once has he spoken it, twice have I heard it. Power belongs to God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. The ground you stand on is holy ground. Covenant, once has he spoken it, twice have I heard it, is always covenant relationship with God. Abram, Abram, stay your hand. I'm about to give you another revelation. And so he's telling the Orthodox Jews, you have nothing to boast about because your ancestor was a Gentile. How can you not eat with a Gentile when your ancestor, the progenitor of your faith, was a Gentile? So all the cross did was take us back. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? To the convergence. So when Paul gets in Ephesians, and God says that he had brought them both back together, raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's just God renewing what existed before. Are y'all with me? I wish I had a chart. I'd draw it up for you and I'd show you how God separated them and called them out. And then when they came through Calvary, he rebraided them back together again, and it was a convergence. And the church is a convergence, not being Jew nor Gentile, but all one in Christ Jesus. The church is a convergence. But anyway, what I was saying was the word beseech is similar to the word beg. And I thought, what would make Paul big? Proud Paul is now begging. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. Wait a minute. He called them brethren while they were not yet sanctified. I beg you, brethren. Now, this is a Gentile city, cosmopolitan city. There are many types of people living in Rome, but he called them brethren while they had never presented their body a living sacrifice. By the mercies of God, I'm your brother. By the mercies of God, I am in the family. By the mercies of God, you who were not a people were made a people and adopted into the royal family and a part of the commonwealth of Israel by the mercies of God. Mercy. 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 Somebody say mercy. Somebody say mercy. Mercy brought you to church tonight. Yeah. Mercy woke you up this morning. Mercy kept you while you were asleep last night. Mercy protected you from drunk drivers while you were on the road. Mercy brought you to the house of the Lord. Somebody say mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm here by the mercy of God. It's not my goodness. I'm here by the mercy of God. I'm blessed by the mercy of God. I'm included by the mercy of God. I'm in the family by the mercy of God. I got a car by the mercy of God. I got a place to stay by the mercy of God. I got clothes to wear by the mercy. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Jeremiah said his mercy is new every morning. Glory to God. The Bible said his mercy endureth forever. Have you ever had God's mercy endure? You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You weren't qualified for it, but his mercy endured. Your friends left. Your wife left. Your husband left. The dog left. The goldfish died, and still mercy woke up every morning and got you up every morning. To God be the glory. I feel like preaching. I got to watch myself, because when I start talking about mercy, I get excited. The Bible said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And when I get to mercy, I want to shout, because I'm standing in the mercy of God. I'm breathing by the mercy of God. I'm walking by the mercy of God. I'm talking by the mercy of God. To God be the glory for the things he has done. It's by his mercy we are not consumed. Oh, he's been merciful. Oh, he's been merciful. If I never get the house I want, he's been merciful. If I never drive the car I want, he's been merciful. He's been so merciful to me. Can I get a witness in here? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And this is where the convergence gets real good. That ye present your body. That's the convergence I really wanted to get to. That ye present. To present anything to God is the function of a priest. Come on. Come on. So he went from talking to me like a brother to talking to me like a priest. A priest has access to the presence of God. So I went from being related. Just because I'm related doesn't mean I have access. I'm related to my children, but they're not here tonight. There's a difference between relationship and access. When he called me brother, he made me related. But when he said present, he made me connected.
If you want the simple truth of the matter, the reality is we perform well outwardly as men, but inwardly we were pressed beyond strength. If the Apostle Paul could admit that sometimes the load got too heavy, why are we just going on business as usual and never accepting the fact that it's okay not to be okay? That there are times in your life, regardless of your status, regardless of your economics, regardless of your education, nobody escapes this. Pressed above measure. Pressed beyond strength. No matter how strong you are, you can be everybody's Superman, but even he had a place of recovery. To step aside for a moment, take off your cape, take off your boots, and we fellas need to get together and have a little talk with Jesus.
Register for the As a Man Thinketh conference. As a Man Thinketh, CONF.com.
I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. That's the royal priesthood. Your body, that's the sacrifice. So I am both the presenter and the sacrifice in the same text. We don't see this in the Old Testament. You can easily distinguish the priest from the present. But now here we see that the priest and the sacrifice have been bottled together, and they have converged together, and they have connected together, and we don't see it from Genesis to Malachi. We don't see it. There's always a distinction between the sacrifice and the priest. The only time we see this again is in Hebrews, when the Bible said that Jesus went in by himself and presented himself. So when you say, I want to be like Jesus, you say, I want to be a convergence. I want to be a sacrifice, and I want to be a priest at the same time. Jesus was the only priest who went in by himself. No lamb, no goat, no scape offering, no drink offering. Jesus went in by himself, with himself, offer up himself. That's why the Bible said, I swear by myself. Are y'all with me? Okay, let's see how far we get with this. That ye present your body a living sacrifice. You have to be presented a living sacrifice. You cannot touch anything dead as a priest. So God said, I want you to present it while it's still squirming. That's why the brazen altar had horns on it, so that the sacrifice could be tied to the altar. It was tied to the altar. If it was dead, you wouldn't have to tie it, because dead people don't move. But the reason you had to tie it to the altar, it's because it's still squirming. You say you're going to give it to God as soon as it dies. But God says, I want it squirming. I want it uncomfortable. I want it difficult. I want you to present your body a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice tied to the horns of the altar, tied to it. Tied to it. I want to talk to some people that are tied to some things that's killing you. And you can't get out. And you can't get away. And you're tied to it. And it might not be a brazen altar, and it might not be a cross. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, he wasn't just talking about wood. Sometimes your cross is not made of wood. Sometimes your cross is a church that won't grow, a mountain that won't move, a child that disrespects you, a parent that wouldn't honor you, and you're squirming, and you can't get away. And God says, I want you to present your body a living sacrifice. What are you tied to that you asked God to move and he didn't move it? Paul said, 3 times I prayed for him to take the thorn out of my flesh. And my only answer was, his grace is sufficient. What are you trying to get out of? Got quiet. We were shouting real good, but it got quiet because you're squirming. You're squirming, squirming. God says, I put you in a situation and I meant for you to be uncomfortable. And this is an era of people who love to be comfortable. I would come to your church if I didn't have to walk across the bridge. I leave early because I don't like the traffic. I want to be comfortable. It's too cold in the church. I don't want to come. I gotta be comfortable. I don't fool with her because she gets on my nerves. How many times has God made you work with somebody that made you? I would have quit the job, but my rent was due. And I'm tired. I'm tired. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Who told you God wants to make you comfortable? God is not interested in making your flesh comfortable. In fact, God wants your flesh uncomfortable. He wants your flesh squirming. obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm only here because you got me tied. I'm tired. I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you don't get up. That you can't get away. That your destiny is tied in an uncomfortable place. I preached 10 years in a place that didn't have 50 members. 10 years. And I knew everything I just said then. And it didn't seem to change the momentum of the ministry because he wanted me tied. I didn't teach some Bible classes. I taught them all. I preach every Sunday to a handful of people because he wanted me tied. And I was working a job and pastoring a church that wouldn't grow, and I couldn't close it because he wanted me squirming. Because the level of blessing he was going to give me was going to be so strong that if I hadn't proved to be faithful with nothing, I wouldn't have earned the right to have something. Does Job serve you for naught? If I take away his stuff, he will curse you to his face. God said, take away whatever you want to. He will not curse me because I know his motives. You are going to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. Don't go home bragging about it. It is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. In the Greek, metamorphosis, it's a process. It's a process. It's not an event. It's a process. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, where you start thinking differently about stuff. Where you start changing direction about stuff, where you look at your phone and let it ring and go to voicemail. It transformed by the renewing of your mind, and all of a sudden you start to think differently about things, and all of a sudden you start telling your friends, no, I don't want to go. I think I'm going to stay home. I'm good. Y'all have a good time. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, where you start thinking differently, where you start feeling differently, where you start responding differently, where it comes to your mind and you know exactly what to say to straighten them out, but you don't say it. Instead, you say, well, praise the Lord. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I know it's some brethren in here tonight, and I suspect there's some priest in here tonight, but I'm wondering, is there any sacrifice in here tonight? In order for there to be a sacrifice, there has to be a transformation in the way you think. Metamorphosis is a process, and the only problem with the process is we are running out of time. I know you're young, but we're running out of time. It's not just about age. there are as many short graves as there are long ones. We're running out of time. When I hold my newspaper up against my Bible, they're starting to look just alike. If these are not the last days, I don't know what they what we're running out of time. The Bible says that while Noah was building the ark, they were eating and drinking and making merry. Are you making merry or making changes? I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. But if there is a convergence that happens in this room right now, a name, a change, a heart will break, a soul will surrender. Somebody will say yes to his will, yes to his word.
Nobody is praying, Lord, make me better. Everybody's praying, Lord, make me bigger. I just want to be bigger. I don't care nothing about being better. But I want to raise up a generation of people who are laying on their face before God, crying out, Lord, make me better.
Shatter your negative feelings and find healing through God. For your gift of any amount, center your mind on God's wholeness with the Healing Hope Prayer Notes. These double-sided cards feature 100 scriptures and insights to help you focus your prayer.
You're fighting, trying to change the mind of somebody whose words don't even matter. God ain't listening to your haters. God is listening to you.
For your gift of $110 or more, you'll also receive the Perfect Peace Prayer Shawl. Combine comfort with spiritual empowerment and remind yourself that Jesus is your perfect peace.
Every step you take is a little bit closer to the miracle that God has for you.
Your belief connects you to the benefits of salvation. Call or click today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Potter's Touch.